Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Drew Edwards, the CEO of Ingo Money. Drew, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Karen. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, and it is another Kill the Check podcast. I love this series. We've really drilled into a number of important use cases where disbursements could, in fact, make for a better customer experience. We've talked about a lot of different use cases. Today, insurance. And I am going to give you a personal anecdote that I hope we can use as a case study for how it could have been better. But before we get into the insurance and my saga, give me a little recap on push payments and why it's such a topic of conversation.
Certainly, I think fast funds has got to be one of the most talked about terms out there in the marketplace over the past year or so. And in our opinion, fast funds are already here. What the term push payments, I think, is something that Visa may have coined, but the concept is pretty simple. You should be able to get paid using the same card or credentials you use to spend money. The payment rails just work in reverse. So if I owe you money, you could give me your debit card and I push it straight into your account.
And the idea here is that everyone has a debit card. No one knows their bank account number, but obviously the debit card is linked to the bank account number. So enter, snap a picture, boom, boom, and everything works perfectly. That's the gist, correct?
Yes, except in my world, everybody doesn't have a debit card, and that's why we have worked hard to achieve true ubiquity, mobile wallets. Also, for those that don't even have a mobile wallet or a bank account, believe it or not, there's still some of those out there. We enable about 40,000 cash out locations. So we do hope that there's a day coming where everybody's got a bank account and a debit card, and that's certainly most of the people you and I know. But we're all about ubiquity, and so there is a way that you're used to getting paid, even if it's cash, and payments can handle that.
So I think that's an important point. It is about pushing payments to a consumer from a business in the way in which they want to be paid. Could be debit, could be ACH to bank account, could be cash, but we don't want it to be, all right, Drew, repeat after me, checks. That's right, checks. We don't want checks.
Almost. Even though I have a business wrapped around killing the check the old-fashioned way, meaning if you're a consumer and you got one and you didn't want it, I can kill it for you and put the money wherever you want. I can't think of anybody that actually wanted the check, and probably the more just-in-time you are, the more paycheck-to-paycheck you are, yeah, which is over half of America, the less you wanted the check. So push payments is all about giving the consumer the choice. Where do you want the money to end up? And we will get it there for you immediately.
So we've talked about a number of use cases, employee disbursements, loan proceeds. Now let's talk about the payment of insurance claims. Why is that such a big opportunity?
Well, think about insurance. I mean, we all buy it, and then none of us really want to actually need it. And when we do need it, because, you know, a tree fell over on our house, or your child wrecked your car, or you have some health emergency, the last thing you want to do is have to wait on your money. And again, if you're a just-in-time consumer, you got to go through the process of filing a claim, and then they're going to mail you a check. And then when you got the check, you still got to go get real money for it. So if you're standing there at that car repair place, they're not going to take the check. And if you don't have money in your account, you've got to go get real money, then come back and pay the car repair place. So perfect use case, because the very nature of insurance typically is something bad's happened. That's why you bought the insurance.
So let me give you my little use case, and I'll explain what happened, and then you can perhaps suggest what might have made it better. So I was traveling, and I lost a piece of jewelry while I was traveling, and I had it scheduled and insured, and I called my insurance broker. Lovely person, handled it right away. They said, no problem, you are fully insured, we will provide you with payment in full for what the scheduled amount of that particular piece of jewelry is. And I said, that's great, thank you so much, what customer service? And then I waited. It was, I don't know, maybe 10 days before I actually got a check. Now, it's not the situation where I wrecked my car and I needed to get a new car, or my roof was caved in because the tree fell in it. But I thought it was a great...
It was
a great customer service experience in terms of processing the claim right away. But in terms of paying the claim, it took 7 to 10 days, and then I got a check. And then it sat around, and, you know, it may be a couple weeks later I actually did something about it and went and tried to replace the piece. But what could have made that different, Drew?
Well, the moment they decided, and they had you in a wonderful customer service frame of mind, the moment they decided that you were approved, right then and there, they should have been able to take your card number right over the phone or say, hey, we're going to send you a text or we're going to send you an email. Just click on the link, tell us how you want to get paid, and we'll be done. You'll have the money. And it works better for the insurance company because it costs them anywhere from $6 to $10 to mail that check. And they don't know if they actually paid you or not. Somebody could have stolen it in the mailbox. You know, it's not even finished for them. So it could have been so much better. And luckily, we're in an insurtech world now. So it was all about fintech. That's what I grew up in. But now one of the hottest spaces is insurtech. Very sort of traditional experience you had is in the middle of getting disrupted. Mm-hmm. And if you have all these mobile-only insurance companies, insurance play, you know, Lemonade, Metro Mile, Trove, there's a ton of them out there. They're all about instant online, we'll get your claim paid. Mm-hmm. And so they need to take that all the way through to, we'll not only approve your claim, we'll get it in your bank account instantly. I had a different experience. My wife did wreck the car, and I thought it was a really good customer experience, and that the insurance company for the person that hit her, the adjuster met us down at the auto body place that they had a deal with. They did an appraisal right there on the spot, and this particular insurance company, one of the big three or four, they actually cut me a check right there on the spot at the insurance company. So I didn't have to wait 10 days. But if I was one of those consumers that needed that money from that check before I could fix my car, I still got to cart myself down to the bank or a check cashier to get my money, right?
Yep, exactly. So this particular insurance company is one of the giant ones, and so I was surprised that it was such an antiquated process. What would they have to have on the back end to accommodate a scenario that you just described, to be able to take my card number over the phone, get my payment processed right away? How involved is that?
Well, the unfortunate thing about insurance is it's one of the oldest, most complicated, most conservative industries, unlike the new economy, Uber and Lyft, et cetera, where everything they do is sort of new and they never produce checks. So for them, it's as simple as an API or a plug-in from a partner. But in the case of insurance, we found at Ingo Money that they have batch-based systems, you know, so they're not necessarily set up right there on the spot to trigger a payment to you from that claims process. They have multiple points of contact where, like, the guy printing the check at the auto dealer versus it happening in customer service versus it happening out of some treasury function. So admittedly, the larger players in the insurance vertical are going to be harder eggs to crack. That's why we are focused a lot on the bridges to make what we're calling instant money as a service so that they can deliver us a batch file with a million payments, and we'll translate those into notifications to you that says, hey, we owe you money. How do you want to get paid? Actually make all that happen for them. So for InsurTech, they're going to shake them up. That's what disruption does, because they're starting from scratch. And for the big guys, they're really going to have to find a partner that can help them outsource, make it easy to make that happen. But there are changes that they're going to have to make.
So let's say my insurance company wants to take this step into the new world I mean, they've got a great reputation, great customer service, but obviously closing the loop was a real problem. What should they be thinking about? Because I'm going to write to them and tell them.
Partnering, not building themselves. So they're insurance companies. They're not payments companies. I'm sure they use a partner of some kind to let you pay your premium with your debit card or your credit card. So they should be looking for a partner in the market. I was on stage with Cecilia Prue from Visa, their Visa Payments Forum, and she had a couple of their partners up there, Ingo being one of the three that were up there, and she pretty much said to everybody in the room, you, Mr. Insurance Company, should focus on your customer experience and partner with somebody for payments, right? So I think if you're PayPal, if you're, you know, already a payments company, then that's a different path. But if you're in the insurance business, partner with somebody that can make it literally a turnkey service for you with everything built in.
So the everything built in, I mean, there's a lot to it, right? So there's you know, fraud and risk, there's being able to provide that ubiquity of payment method, payment type, so it's not just a bank account or a debit card, it could be to a PayPal account, to a prepaid card, even cash, as you pointed out. So it sounds like there's a lot of little nuances that they need to be thinking about, not just partnering, but partnering with someone who can do a lot of these things, right?
Yes, ma'am. Partner with somebody that's got experience doing this. And one of the advantages we have is we were the first use case for Visa to push across their rails back in 2012 or 2013 when we were killing the check in that form, I guess. But when you're talking about push payments here, one reason that the money is immediately made available to the consumer is it's going across a payment network that is guaranteed by banks on both ends of the spectrum or by some sort of money transmitter license. And so this is complicated and risky stuff. If you're going to build it yourself, you've got to have sponsor banks, and you got to have a different one for different networks, and you've got to have all of the fraud and risk controls to make sure that you only push money that you intend to push, that you actually validate that the person that's receiving it hasn't stolen somebody's email box and is actually having it sent to their debit card instead of to the person who's expecting to receive it. So it's a long list of things that you have to build yourself. I heard Visa tell somebody the other day, we're 5 years ahead of everybody because you don't know what you don't know until you kind of get into the payments side of things, the push payments.
Are insurance companies thinking about building this themselves?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I don't know about building it themselves. They're certainly thinking about launching it without talking about anything confidential there. I mean, we know that the first big one to launch push payments was Allstate, and they did that in partnership, I think, with their bank, Wells. And rumor is it took them over a year to get that thing launched, right? So as the market accelerates, every big company I've ever met has a room to start out with, why do we need anybody else? We could do this ourselves. But I believe when they peel the onion and they begin to realize how long that's going to take them, and when they look around in the marketplace and realize there are faster ways to market and the competition and, you know, speed to market becomes important, most will partner versus build unless they're inherently a payments company.
Well, it certainly makes sense to do that, and there's nothing like a little market competition to turn the heat up on taking action and really incorporating this push payments technology into the customer service experience. I know it would have been a real benefit to me. It sounds like you had part of it, but it kind of they gave you a check, which didn't kill the check, but at least you got remedied right away. But it's important, and I think, as you point out, insurance is one of those things that we all pay for, and when we need it, we need it. So speed is important in payments. Always great talking to you, Drew. I love getting your perspective on such an important topic. We're going to drill into banks next, but the view from the Treasury side of things and why they're interested in really developing and pushing this partner approach to integrate push payments into what they're doing. As I always wrap these things, keep an eye out for our next push payments tracker and soon to be launched payments index. We're really going to take a look at disbursements from the perspective of the consumer, how they're getting paid today, how they'd like to be paid going forward, and the gap in the satisfaction levels that go along with that. Feel free to email us at pushpayments@payments.com. And always, the man, Drew at Ingo Money. His email is drew@ingomoney.com if you'd like any further information. Drew, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Karen. Really appreciate it.
Nice chatting with you again. Bye-bye now.